Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
You glad to be back?
We sure are.
Yeah, we sure are. We're as happy as a kid in Toys R Us when it was open.
When Toys R Us was a thing.
Yeah. I remember I always fucking wanted to go to Toys R Us as a kid.
Me
and
too.
I never got taken.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, like, distinct childhood memory I have is, like, you know, when you're a kid, you're just constantly asking, can I have this? No.
Yeah.
Can I have this? No. Can we do this? No. And it's just like a mantra that your parents repeat, like, no, because, like, they can't say yes to anything. But one day, me and my brothers saw a Toys R Us advert, and we ran into the kitchen, like, Dad, will you take us to Toys R Us? And he just went, yeah, all right, and took us to Toys R Us. And it was like,
God.
Really?
That's awesome. I remember there was this kid at my school. His name was Tony, and he was a little shit. He used to wear, like, knickerbockers and everything. And he brought in some Ninja Turtles toys. And I was like, oh, where'd you get them from? And he's like, oh, from Toys R Us. And I was like, you fucking Yeah, I didn't go to Toys R Us until I was about 15, because there was one near my school. And when we were let out eventually for lunch times, which didn't happen until year 10 at my school...
That didn't happen at all at my school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Until
like sixth form.
Yeah. So when you got to year 10 in my school, you got a different tie, and that's how they knew. But I remember in like year 8 or 9, me and my friends were like, should we just try it? So we got up to the gate, and then like the dinner lady was like, where's your tie? Then I was like, oh, I lost mine, so they've given me this one as a substitute. And she was like, oh, okay. And we just went out.
Really?
Yeah, and we were like, fuck. I remember we went up to the local shopping centre and like fired around for an hour, and then it got to like, oh, it was like maybe 12 minutes until the bell was about to go, and we were like, we need to get back. So we like ran out, saw like a black cab, and we were like, take us back to school. Yeah, and we must have had like a couple of quid between us, and luckily it was just enough. Then we jumped out of the cab, like ran down to like our form room and stuff, and made it just in time. And we were like, yeah.
Wow. See, yeah, going to school in London, because there wasn't anything like, once you learnt to drive, you could drive to like McDonald's or whatever.
Mm.
But until one of your friend group learned to pass their driving test and had a car, like, there was no point in going outside school, because there was nothing. You could, like, go to the shop and get some sweets.
And that's it.
But that's it. There was nothing, anywhere.
Here's a question then, back to the Spice Girls. In your local shop then, was there Spice
Girls? We haven't been to the Spice Girls yet, but we can go there. That's fine.
They're always 7 seconds away, Tom. But just as long as I stay, I'll be waiting. No, but when they were big, did you have like in like your local shop out in the country, did you have like Spice Girls like sweets and stuff in there?
Maybe they were like stickers or something.
Yeah, okay, that was a thing. So maybe, okay. I'm just like curious. I remember someone telling me once that I read on a forum, sorry. That in
yeah,
like
I don't have friends that tell me things.
In some fucking like remote shop in Canada, like where it's like snowing as fuck and whatever, they went into the shop and there was the Spice Girls Cadbury bars. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. They just reached everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I just remember the heartbreak of someone bringing you back Victoria or Mel C. I would almost not want it. That's how much I didn't want those two. I was like, oh, thanks, I guess. Fuck. What do I do with this now?
See, they were probably...
What do I do with this now?
Yeah. I mean, they were probably the two that I fancied the most, I think.
I don't get why people liked... I find it really hard to understand that boys found Victoria attractive. Not because she's not, but she, to me, just seems the most one I wouldn't look twice at in the lineup.
Yeah.
A lot of boys fancied her, found out.
But I mean, especially at that age, like, I didn't know anything about their personalities. I'm literally just looking at pictures, going, who's pretty?
Yeah, but even that, I would have put in order of prettiness, maybe Emma, Jerry, Mel B, Mel C, and then Victoria. And I thought they were all attractive, but that would be my like sort of thingies, like sliding scale. Yeah, a lot of boys, apparently Victoria was like their number one.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, that's surprising to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, back to magic.
Yes. Moving on from ranking women in order of attractiveness.
What other way is there to do it, Tom? Oh, JK. Rowling. Oh, do you know what? So I pre-planned my Order of the Phoenix rap this week.
Did you? Yeah.
Because I was watching a show the other day and I was like, how have I not fucking thought to use that before? Yeah, so do like the book intro and then I'll do my special song for this week.
Okay. All right, today we're talking about chapters 7, 8 and 9 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
So this goes out to all our American fans, especially those who watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Right. Order of the Phoenix. We're twirling our mustaches. Because this phoenix has risen. And I've said bye, ashes.
Okay.
So, in all the Real Housewives shows, right, during the, like, title sequence, they introduce each one. Each of them has some fucking stupid quote. Like, I don't come to play, but I do go hard. Or something like that. They've all got a stupid one. Then one of them, in Real Housewives of Atlanta, her one is, this phoenix has risen. And I've said, bye, ashes. And I was like, yeah, boy.
Okay, good. I'm glad it was a reference that I didn't understand and not just like a joke that I didn't get.
Oh, God. Yeah.
All right, good. So, chapter 7, The Ministry of Magic. We start out, it's the morning of Harry's trial, and my first note is that he tried to eat his toast, but it was like chewing carpet.
Harry was like, oh, wait, what? Why is there ginger? What the? Ginny, get off my plate! Yeah. I put my marmalade there. She's like, it's all right, it's good for many infections. Oh.
Anyway, Harry's finished chewing his carpet.
Yeah, and everyone's up in the kitchen. All the members are in the kitchen already, yawning and giving Harry words of wisdom.
Yes.
Sirius is like, you must control your temper.
Control your temper, Harry!
Shakes it back and forth. Control! None of this, Harry! Yeah. None of this! Yeah, Arthur says Amelia Bones is going to be presiding over his hearing. He's like, it's okay, she's strict but she's fair, so hopefully it'll be good.
Yep.
And then Harry feels something wet on his back and he's like, who brought this dead seal in here? Nah, it's a fucking comb. Yeah. Molly's trying to sort out his hair.
Doesn't it ever lie flat?
And I was like, surely there's magic for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's that fucking potion that Hermione used for the Yule Ball?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, they should have, like, put that on him, made it, like, a really, like, severe, like, 1950s, like, comb back kind of thing.
Like a tight white T-shirt with a pack of cigarettes under the sleeve.
Oh, God. So when you go in there, Harry, your name is going to be Daddy from now on. Do you understand? Yeah. Your response to every question is going to be Sandy.
Sandy.
And that will cure everything. He's like, are you sure?
Because I'm not sure they're going to get that reference.
And Molly's like, what reference? Oh, God. Sirius says, look, boy, if things don't go well, I'll see to Amelia Bones for you. I was like, that's not a thing you should say to a child.
No.
I was like, what the fuck are you going to do? What is he going to do to him? Oh.
Put his head in her fireplace.
She truly will be called Amelia Bones.
Amelia Bones. People think that's her last name, but I say, yes, she does.
It's supposed to be fuck, then I kill her, then I turn her into a dog, then I eat her, and then
bury her in the garden.
Yeah, bury the bones in the garden, mouth to mouth.
So they set off, Harry and Arthur, walking towards the tube station. Gifton's doing a lovely mime of a walk.
When they get to the tube station, like the old-fashioned way you'd buy old-fashioned, like the way 10 years ago, the way you would buy
Yeah, I mean, it does. Yeah, it does feel very dated, doesn't it? Like buying tickets from a machine. Like, I guess you can still do that.
Can you?
You can still buy like day travel cards and stuff from the ticket machines.
I didn't know that.
The machines you top your Oyster card up at.
Oh, I just thought you always had to buy Oyster cards now. No. And I had like a National Rail card that was also had a travel card on it for London travel.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you can just buy tickets for travel, like a zones one, either a zone what to whatever journey or like.
Oh, okay.
So I think you can.
I'm trying to think of the film, because in the film I know that people are using Oyster cards. By the way, if anyone doesn't know, I think every major city has a version of this. I know they do in New York and stuff, so I think it's pretty international, but it's probably just like a, what do they call the, it's like an REF chip
card. I've no idea. The card that you have money preset balance on, or a travel card on, and you just beep it in through the barrier, and then you get, and then you're onto the platforms.
So Arthur sees people going through ahead of him in the film, then he just sees them like tapping on the thing, so he just like taps his hand on the thing a few times.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then Harry has actual like physical tickets, I think, and he puts them through the machine for him and Arthur.
Yeah,
yeah. I wonder if they had to buy real tickets at the station.
What, to make the barriers do that?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably some sort of movie magic that allowed them to have control over the barrier themselves.
I know, what if they, I mean, because they do like arsey fucking attention to detail things in that film all the time. So what if they actually bought a ticket from whatever station to whichever appropriate station it was?
Well, I wondered which station it was. Because if they're in N1,
yeah,
I feel like it may be Highbury and Islington.
Maybe, yeah.
But then this is going to be such a fucking boring discussion.
I don't think so. If we say it in animated voices.
So maybe they were at Highbury and Islington. I'm just trying to think where from N1, where Grimmauld Place is, what is like a few stops into central. I guess it is just probably 5 or 6 stops into central London is probably about right.
Yeah, probably. Let's say Victoria.
I guess to be fair, Harry probably doesn't know any better, does he?
Yeah. And after all, she is my least favourite Spice Girl, so. So they go to a red telephone box and they squeeze in, and Harry's like,
yeah, the description of the red telephone box is pretty good. Missing glass panels and graffiti everywhere. Yeah. Didn't mention all the calling cards from all the hookers, though. Which would definitely be there if it was a red telephone box.
Can I say, I guess like I'm where I'm going to. My uncle, his job when I was a kid used to be putting those in telephone boxes. And I remember finding a stash of them in his room.
I thought you were going to say taking them out of telephone boxes.
Well, I can remember I found a load of them in his room once, and I was like, oh, do you put these up in telephone boxes? Or something like that, because his response to it was, no, I take them out. But these boxes were like freshly printed ones. But I just accepted what he said. I mean, I said to my dad that, and then he was like, no, he doesn't. He puts them up. And I was like, okay.
What, is he like a pimp then?
No, I just think he used to get paid to put these things up. Or maybe he was a pimp.
By
a
pimp?
Didn't know. Either way, you gave me lots of pocket money.
He had a chalice that Harry would have envied.
Yeah, buy all the Victoria and Mel C chocolate bars you can ever want. Oh, God. So they get into the box and Arthur punches in the number 62442, which spells out magic.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Little Easter egg for you there.
Yeah, and the voice says, welcome to the Ministry of Magic, and then they disappear and reappear. How does it happen?
He says, oh, I'm Arthur Weasley. I'm here with Harry Potter for a hearing on disciplinary magic or whatever. Mm. And then two little badges come out stating Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, Arthur visitor.
Weasley. Maybe Arthur doesn't need one because he has a pass, I guess, for the ministry.
Yeah.
Then the thing sinks into the floor, and then they arrive in the atrium, I guess, of the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah, dark wood floors with like a blue ceiling and walls and stuff.
I would just imagine how it is in the film.
Well, yeah, so because I can remember what it looks like in the film as well, and I always remember watching the film and thinking, that's not how I imagined it, but also I can't really remember how I imagined it, and so I tried to listen to the description here and picture it in a new way.
On the dust jacket of book 5, they have an illustration of the fountain and some of the ceiling and stuff, so I did picture it as that when I was reading it, but then when the film's come out, it completely changed to the film's one.
Huh.
But it's nice. It all looks nice. It all looks very well looked after. There you go.
Yes, well done, those house elves.
Yeah, I put the ministry looks none too shabby.
Yeah, I put awesome building, awesome fountain.
Yeah. It's a wizard, a witch, a goblin, a house elf, and a centaur all walk into a bar. And, and the fountain's got loads of like little gold coins and shit in the bottom. And it says, things left in here I donated to St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies.
Yeah. And Harry's like, if I get off my charges, I'll throw in 10 galleons.
Yeah. And then he has to have a security screening, right?
Yeah, which is fucking useless. Like, he just takes Harry's wand, weighs it on like a gold scale, and then goes, whatever it is, 11 and a half inches, phoenix feather core. Is that right? It's like, well, what good is that?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you're going to read out what the wand weigh thing and then ask the person if that's correct, they're just going to go, yes.
Yeah. He doesn't like... So he doesn't do like a secrecy sensor thing or anything like that around here.
They have a, you know, like how you get wanded going through airport sometimes. And he has like a little, like, I think it's described as like a gold radio antenna.
Ah, okay.
That he like waves up and down him.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what that's like for. I guess Harry sort of wouldn't.
I mean, Harry's not in good stead at the moment with the ministry. There should have been a more thorough check.
Yeah.
They should have been like, okay. Time for the cavity search. Yeah. Harry's like, is it really necessary? He's like, oh, you can hide all sorts of dark magic up there, you can. Bend over. But we're in the atrium still. Bend over. Oh, God.
Oopsie. Got a full few nuggets of dark magic.
Oh, what's it? No, it's all right. I think that's a annoying dark magic there. Also, don't be surprised if you spontaneously ejaculate. Oh, for fuck's sake, Tergio. So after that fucking assault, him and Arthur get into the lift.
Yes, and the lift is cool.
Yeah, it's like, it works exactly the same as the film one, right? It goes up, down, sideways, and back and forth and stuff, right?
I don't think it goes... sideways and back and forth and stuff, does it?
Oh, maybe not in
this
book.
I don't remember
book,
saying
then.
That in the book.
Oh, it definitely does. Maybe it's they only mention it in book seven then.
But to be honest, there's a chance I might have just missed it. Either way, yeah, there's like paper memos flying around that have been used to replace owls.
Yeah, Arthur's like, oh, we used to use owls. The mess was atrocious or whatever.
Yeah.
They'd often get in your mouth. If anyone's ever had a bird accidentally shit in their mouth, can you please email in? Because I want to know what you did in the aftermath of that.
Spit a lot, I guess.
Yeah, but I can imagine it happening and it being awful. Then I can't imagine what you would do after that.
I can't imagine going on with my life after that.
Oh, do you remember that story of, do you know who Fabio is?
No.
So Fabio is this model who with long blonde hair, and he used to be on the cover of like... a fuck ton of romance novels back in the day. So that's why. So if you saw a picture of him, you'd be like, oh, him, yeah. Anyway, he was doing this like promo thing for like a new theme park that opened, and on the roller coaster, he like hit a geese and the geese like, exploded.
He hit a geese?
Yeah, because as it went high up and zoomed along.
Do you mean a goose?
Hit a geese. Goose. Yeah, sorry. That's so weird. It doesn't sound weird to me at all. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, yeah. A fucking goose flew across as he zoomed past and whacked me and like exploded over his face, basically. So there's photos of him back down on the ground again as the cart pulls in and just blood all over his face. It's excellent.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a thing that can happen. Yeah. I suppose it is, isn't
that
it?
That poor fucking bird. Anywho, yeah, so they get off the lift.
Yeah, they walk past Kingsley, who and him and Arthur are very just curt to each other.
Yeah, also they don't like each other.
Yeah. And Harry goes to say, looks like he's going to go say hello, and Mr. Weasley just sort of nudges him.
No, he stamps on his foot. Not stamps on his foot. He... gently treads.
Indicates to him.
He breaks both his kneecaps.
Yeah. And screams, we need to pretend we don't know him.
Yeah, and then Arthur leans into Kingsley and is like, if you can get off early tonight, Molly's making meatballs.
Yeah. Yeah, they have the worst covert conversation ever.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, like, I want to say like the Three Stooges or something like that.
Do you have any real frame of reference?
No, not at all. But that's what it makes me think of. The sort of references people make to them is what it makes me think of.
Yeah, it's sort of like if you were going to do a bank heist and then your annoying little brother wanted to get involved. So you're like, okay, just don't fuck it up. And then you get to the counter and they're like, yes, I'm just making a deposit. Yes. Yeah. This duffel bag is already full of money.
Yeah.
Shut up. Yeah, but Kingsley says something like, yes, Sirius Black has been spotted something something near the something something.
Yeah. Details aren't important.
And then he gives Arthur a bit of a rolled up bit of magazine or something.
Yeah, and they're all, he's all like, make sure you get that report to me on time, Arthur. Your delay on this report put us back on our search a month.
Yes.
And Arthur's like, well, oh yeah, that was it. Kingsley says the Firelegs report.
Firelegs?
Yeah, and then Arthur's like, well, if you'd read it, you'd know the correct term is firearms.
I can't, these wizards can't be that stupid.
No,
in real
I
life.
Know.
Like, no. They're just joshing, right?
Yeah. Just having a bloody laugh, aren't they?
Sorry, they go past the magic windows as well.
Do they?
Harry's like, ain't we underground?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he sounded like fucking Oliver Twist there.
Please, sir. Ain't we underground? Today, sir. It's Christmas Day.
And Arthur's like, yes, but these are magic windows, Harry. Isn't that special?
Yeah.
Harry's like, oh, I guess so. And he's like, yes, weather department made it hurricanes.
Magical maintenance.
That's
and
it.
I'm like,
the weather department.
Why don't they just call it maintenance?
That's so true. Fucking hell. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get a pay rise once and they made it hurricanes. So yeah, they get to Arthur's office, his cubicle, and there's no windows there.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, Perkins must be coming in a bit later. And then almost straight afterwards, Perkins comes bustling in and he's like, oh, Arthur, there was an urgent owl for you. And he's like, yes, I got the message about the regurgitating toilet in Bethnal Green. And he's like, no! No, Arthur, you fucking klutz. The trial's been moved.
And I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yo, you've been watching Home Improvement. Oh, God. And Harry fucking is like, what? And Arthur just grabs him by the scruff of his neck, fucking throws him across the room. He's like, Harry.
It's a Harry, you piece of shit. We need to go.
Yes. This will give you a 30-second head start.
Yeah. Run, Harry.
And he's firing curses at Harry's heels to make sure he runs fast.
Yeah. Run like you did in that graveyard.
Run like you're running across the border. Oh god, no. So they fucking like hightail it down there.
Yeah, and they get the lift down to the Department of Mysteries.
Yeah, because isn't Arthur like, why they're fucking holding your trial in this place? I don't know.
Yeah, why are they having used those courtrooms in since? Trails off mysteriously.
Yeah, which is odd.
It is, but they get down there.
Should be like, they haven't used those fucking courtrooms since they fucking trialed, you know, the Lestranges. Do you know why, Harry? Because they fucking tortured Neville's parents.
We'll go see them in St. Mungo's later. It's hilarious.
Yes, it's okay. I bring them the same Clementine every time.
Oh, that's awful.
What a cunt, though. Do you know what I mean? Bringing it, and then, of course, they don't remember, just putting it back in your pocket. And next time you come, keeping it again. Oh, man, you're a fucking despicable human being, you are. Fucking hell. And at Christmas time, it's a chocolate orange.
And he still just takes home.
Same one for like 20 years. It's not even got the orange inside, it's just the box.
Yes.
Oh, fucking hell, right. So they get down to the room.
Yeah, they're 5 minutes late. Well, they're a few minutes late. It's like five past... He said the trial starts at 8 and it's like 8:05 by the time they get the message. And they're like, shit.
Do you know what's bizarre? Just thinking, if they had changed the time in the hopes that Harry wouldn't be there, why did they get everyone there still?
I think, wasn't it in the hopes that Dumbledore wouldn't get there?
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so. Well, probably both, actually.
Yeah, because Arthur didn't get the emergency owl or whatever it was, right? So I'm assuming they just didn't send one, right?
Well, they did, because Perkins tells them that there was an emergency owl that he missed.
Oh, sorry. I thought that... I completely missed that. I thought that Perkins, for some reason, had heard that... had just heard the message on the grapevine and came to tell Arthur.
Oh, right. No, sorry. He says you had an emergency owl that you missed. Although okay. It wouldn't be an owl, would it? It would be one of those paper memos.
Unless the owl was sent... Well, it couldn't be sent to Grimmauld Place, because then...
Perkins wouldn't know about it.
Yeah, and everyone would know about Sirius too.
How?
Because if they sent an owl to Arthur, I'm assuming it would, if it was before work, because Arthur's just got in, yeah, they've gone to Grimmauld Place, right?
I guess so, but then the owl isn't going to go back and like tell, is it?
Maybe. But
the owl can't write a letter.
You never know what I saw when I got there.
It's gossiping to all the other owls in the owlery.
Yeah. They were like clacking their nails on like keyboards. Oh my God. I don't know what he was doing, but he was with the hippogriff. And they were like buck naked. Oh, God. And he was like, this is how I oil your feathers. I was like, no, my God.
Do you know, I always thought that about that black boy.
Ooh, Kingsley. No, serious.
Yeah, he steps into the courtroom.
Yeah, because he has to go in solo.
Yeah.
Solo. He's going solo.
Yes. Into the courtroom. And then end of chapter.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then chapter 8, the hearing starts.
The hearing. The seeing. The tasting.
Touching. The smelling.
I was trying to think, what is the fifth sense? Isn't it that Bruce Willis movie?
No.
Turns out Bruce Willis is dead in the end.
I mean, I've never even seen it and I already know that.
Okay. It is actually a great film.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah. Sorry. So Judge Fudge is heading the hearing.
Yes. And there's a full, like, 50 wizards all in robes with
it's
a W on them.
Full Wizengamot.
Wizengamot.
Yeah.
Wizengamot.
Wizengamot.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Wizengamot.
Wizengamot. Are you sure it's not that?
No, it's Wizengamot.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I think you are right, but I'm going to double check, because let me just see.
I'm affronted. Yeah.
Oh, what did I say?
It wasn't Magot.
Oh, sorry. yeah, just a very learned baby fly. Oh, God.
Imagine if you said the word maggot like that. Oh, look at all these Magots.
Or if you're a Scottish man who just did seppuku.
No.
Oh, am I goods?
Fucking hell.
anywho. So yeah, they're getting there. It's the full Wizengamot.
Yes.
Percy's there doing like, he's like the stenographer, I guess.
Yeah.
And fucking Umbridge is there. We don't know it's Umbridge yet, though. We just see a short, squat woman.
Yeah. I think she does get introduced. Well, she definitely asks a question, and I'm pretty sure she, because I remember Dolores Jane Umbridge, I think. No, wait, she's got a bunch of middle names, I think. Fuck, I don't know.
Dolores Jane Viva Who's an Umbridge.
Wow, that's a deep cut, poorly read joke there.
Oh, God. So, yeah, they're about to commence, and then fucking we hear, like... Pff, bah,
bah, bah. Yeah, Dumbledore makes a... Fudge is reading out who will be, like, testifying, and then yeah. Dumbledore makes the classic courtroom entrance. And testifying for the defence!
Yeah. There's like Dumbledore, no, Albus, Brian, Wulfric, Percival. Have I done that back
you got
to front?
Percival and Brian the wrong way around, but it's...
Albus, Percival, Wulfric, Brian, Dumbledore.
Yes.
That's one bit of good acting he does do in that film. He puts a good emphasis on Brian so that we know it's ridiculous. So they read off the charges and Harry's like, yes, but...
Yes,
like, you did a thingy thing, Milbob.
You did knowingly... No, I didn't write all of them down, but he's like, you did knowingly produce a Patronus in front of a muggle. Yes, but... And you have received ministry warning for a levitation charm before. Yes, but... And you did this and you fucking...
Yeah, and then Harry's like, yeah, but... And then he's like, ah, I think we've heard enough here. And then he's like,
all right, have any of your butts here, mister?
Oh, that's it. And then Susan Bones interrupts.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she's like, you conjured a full Patronus?
Yeah,
a corporeal
like, yes,
one.
But. And then he's like, yeah, what, a corporeal one? And then he's like, yeah, but. And it's like, and it was more than just a few wisps of vapor. And then he's like, yeah, it always takes the form of a stag. And she's like, always.
Always.
And then he's like, yeah. And he's like, you've done this before. And he's like, yeah, we did it. I learned it at school. And she goes, oh, and you're only 15? He's like, yeah. Like, oh, impressive.
Ooh.
Yes, I should introduce you to my daughter. He's like, what's her name? She's like, why? Just tell me.
Wait, her daughter's actually at... There's a Susan Bones at Hogwarts.
That's her aunt, her niece.
Oh.
Yeah, it's right there. Thanks for ruining the punchline of my joke. Yeah, because and then at the end of that, Harry's like, yeah, but I did it because of the Dementors.
Yeah. And they're all like...
Dementors in Little Whingy.
Such fucking nonsense.
I've never heard such constant vigilance.
Yeah, Fudge is just making a complete joke of it.
Yeah.
Like, Harry's mad or attention-seeking. There's no witnesses. Muggles can't see Dementors, can they?
Yeah.
I bet you thought this would be a handy little ploy for having created a Patronus.
And then Dumbledore's like, actually, can I get a witness? Yeah. And then you can see, like, a Cadillac coming.
Can someone take that air horn away from him?
Fucking Arabella Fig fucking rolls in. She's like, rolling with my homies. And Dumbledore does, like, it's like a gangster handshake with her. Yeah. And he conjures up some fucking chairs. Some lovely chintz armchairs. What are chintz armchairs?
Fancy armchairs.
So I just imagine them as like Chesterfield armchairs.
See, I don't know what that is either.
Oh, it's those, you know, those couches where it's covered in leather and then it has like darts that in them that have like the gold, like the brass like button in the middle of the dart.
Darts.
Not darts as in throwing darts, but darts as in like fabric darts, like pinches of fabric. So on the couch, it looks like diamond patches of leather with a brass, like studs interrupting them. Oh, for fuck. You know exactly what I mean as well. If you saw it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I probably do.
And my description was fucking excellent. So yeah, he brings out Figgy. And she's like, it wasn't me. Yeah.
But we saw you in the shower.
I was there, I caught Harry red-handed.
Wanking on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. Picture this, him and Big D were both buck naked. How was I supposed to protect them from the Dementors they were about to see?
Why should we believe you if you tell us it wasn't you? No, wait. Doesn't make any sense.
It's fine. Yeah, so Figgy's sort of made to describe what she saw.
Yeah, and describes it all pretty well, but in her own sort of...
Harry sort of, he can tell from her description that it sounds like he didn't think she could have seen Dementors at all, but it sounds like a very like well-rehearsed retelling of what she would have seen if she could see Dementors.
Yeah, just big and with cloaks. But then she goes into how it felt and how it's all cold.
But I feel like everyone can knows how they feel, not just because they're like, can Squibs see Dementors? And she's like, yes, of course we can. And then the description of them is like the bog standard description of a Dementor.
Yeah, but I think that's just because she's not very
good. No, at Harry being this. Harry says something about the way she describes
it. Yeah, he does. He's like, yeah, like she's not doing a very good job at being convincing. But I don't think that's because she's lying.
He says something like, he sounds like she hadn't done
any more than seen a picture of a dementor.
Yeah, but I think that's true. I think she couldn't.
I don't think it is.
No, I don't think she could see them.
I don't think Dumbledore would have got a witness there to lie.
I think that's exactly what he did. I think he told her what they would have looked.
Strong disagree.
I am right. I'm willing to fucking fight on this. I'm so sure that Dumbledore was like, this is what Dementors look like. Exactly. And this is what
so
you would
tell
have
them
seen.
You saw this.
Yeah, because no you were way. There. Yeah, of course.
She can see Dementors.
I don't think she can.
And Harry thinks that she's only thinks that she hasn't seen them and is making it up. Okay, well, I've just googled can Squibs see Dementors.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I guess you're right then.
Oh, am I? Yeah. It rarely fucking happens on this pod, but when it does, it feels sweet.
Oh, that's a shame. I really don't like that.
I do. Not all the time, but I sometimes like a Machiavellian sensibility.
Yeah. She has a little bit on Squibs and what they do in the magical world. Incidentally, Arabella Fig never saw the Dementors that attacked Harry and Dudley, but she had enough magical knowledge to identify correctly the sensations they created in the alleyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
I like it. I like that Dumbledore's prepared to do what it takes.
I just think it's damaging to the integrity of what they're trying to do in terms of plotting and in terms of truth and fighting against untruth being such a key theme throughout this book.
Do you know what? I personally disagree. Because I feel like I think I'm just quite an the ends justify the means kind of person, not across the board, but I tend
yeah
to
they
have
do
that
I don't thing. I don't disagree with that, but I just think it would have been so easy for JK Rowling to just say, yeah, Squibs can see Dementors, she was just gave a shitty description, and that would then lend an integrity to their cause and their case in this scene that it now doesn't have, and it's just lies versus lies and who can get off. I think the fact that they lie to as a means to their ends in any even a small way is really damaging to that as an overarching theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we obviously disagree, so we can just move on.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I like having these discussions.
Yeah.
I feel like it humanizes everyone a bit more for me.
Yeah.
I like when the heroes aren't completely altruistic.
Yeah, because in real life, people aren't.
Yeah, and I think that's why I respond to it, because I'm like, but it's not like butter wouldn't melt, you know, and I think I like that aspect to it, or I think.
All right.
So yeah, they finish hearing what she has to say, and then Fudge is like a bit incredulous about what Fig says. And then Bones like,
yeah, rightly so, apparently.
And then Bones like, well, she suddenly described the effects of a Dementor like very well. And it's like, And Fudge is like, well, why would Dementors be in Little Whinging?
Yeah, what are the chances that they would just be wandering around there and happen to see a wizard? And Dumbledore's like, well, I don't think this was a chance encounter at all.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think anyone here believes it was by accident.
Yes.
And Fudge is like, oh, really? No, Dumbledore's like, well, if the Ministry is convinced that the Dementors are still under the full control of the Ministry, then
we must ask ourselves, why did someone at the Ministry order this attack?
Mm. And then Fudge's like, oh, enough of this collywobble or whatever it is. Like, we're not here to discuss the control of the Dementors or whatever, we're here to discuss Harry doing magic and being a bad boy. And Dumbledore's like, yes, of course we are. And then Fudge is like, right, look, who's in favour of conviction if you put their hand up, and who's in favour of not?
More put their hand
up.
And he's like, fine.
Fine, cleared. Now fuck off.
Now fuck off.
And take your figgy with you. Yeah, and then Dumbledore like turns around and walks out, and Harry tries to catch his eye, and Dumbledore...
Yeah, and he's been trying to catch his eye throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
Keeps popping out of his head.
I was like, sorry, I had an accident during the summer. You don't need to know this fact, Harry, but when sperm gets in your eye, it treats it like a cell membrane and eats its way through. So Moody let me his eye and it doesn't quite fit, you see.
Yes, he's fashioning me one of those blue swivelies.
But I want a purple one. Yeah.
I want one I can change from purple to orange, like a phoenix.
I want a rainbow coloured one, you know. You know why, Harry. Oh, God. So, yeah, got me fucking catapult straight into chapter 9, The Woes of Mrs. Weasley.
Yes.
Or everyone. The toes of Mrs. Weasley.
The toes.
Yeah, the moes of Mrs. Weasley.
The grows.
Grows of Mrs. Weasley. The bows of Mrs. Weasley.
The growths.
The does of Mrs. Weasley.
The pose.
Pose. Bless, you're like a fucking supermodel now.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be a supermodel. No. Maybe she would for like, oh, what magazines did we have that Mrs. Weasley used to be on? Not used to be on.
Oh, what those magazines that Mrs. Weasley used to be on?
I don't know, maybe like Women in Home used to be one that is for like Mrs. Weasley.
Mrs. Weasley types.
Yeah, Town and Country was another one. Nuts, there we go.
Nuts. Zoo.
Oh, fucking just Mrs. Weasley just holding two like massive gravy boats in front of her chest. Oh, God.
Yeah, crunchy or smooth.
Yes, this is what I call a McFlurry. Yes, Harry fucking goes out the courtroom and he's like, I got off.
I'm hoping you can't tell in these robes, but...
So, yeah, Arthur's like, oh, I knew you'd get off. Yeah, they just couldn't do anything, Harry. Blah, blah, blah.
Those chairs are just so comfortable, aren't they?
And now they've installed that little thing that vibrates every time you have a little whoopsie. It's just like, it's impossible not to, Harry.
It's impossible not to get off.
Sometimes me and Molly sneak in here at night, and we both sit on it together. Mm. It just like goes, it's like a daydream haze. So it's like drooling. Oh, God.
Can't wait to get home for those meatballs.
And Kingsley's coming around. I mean, part of me is a little bit nervous because I've heard things about, you know,
lizards.
I was wondering if I'm going to, you know, measure up, Harry. And I was like, don't worry, there's a spell for that.
I've heard that once you go blizzard, you never go...
Yeah, once you go blizzard, you never go wizard. Oh, God. And then fucking Lucius appears and he's chatting to the minister.
Yeah, they find Lucius talking to Fudge. They have some private business to attend to.
Yes.
Jingly Pockets.
Oh, my favourite Pokemon. Yeah, and then Lucius pops by. Not pops by. He walks past Harry. He's like, oh, but it is, if it isn't the... He says some shitty, like, rhymey word to him.
I don't know. He gives them... They have it like a bog-standard Lucius Malfoy Arthur
like,
Weasley exchange.
It's like, isn't it the little graveyard escaper? Murderer. The original gangster. Murderer.
I haven't seen you since I was looking at you from behind my mask in that great... I mean...
Yeah, I haven't seen you since Voldemort fucking came over my face and made me stand there with a loud wiping. I mean... Oh, that's it. And he says a choice. Did you write down the line? He says to Harry.
I don't think so.
He says, I just want to congratulate you on your ability to seemingly wriggle out of tight holes. And I was like, yeah, boy.
Not bad at wriggling into them either.
I've heard that you can turn yourself into a mouse now.
I know you've always had nimble fingers.
And now there's a mouse that's even nimbler. And I was like, what's this? And Lucia's like, oh, well, you see. And I was like, no.
Yeah, no, we don't need to.
No, they know exactly what happened at the graveyard that night, Lucia. Yes. And Lucia's like, yes. What Harry said is what happened. Oh, he's not the Dark Lord's concubine at all. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, and then as he's walking away, Harry hears like the jangling of money in his pocket or something.
Mm.
No, sorry, the minister comes up to him and then they both walk off and Harry could hear the sound of jingling in the minister's pocket.
Yeah. Arthur says that Lucius donates to all sorts of causes to get favours here and stop laws being passed he doesn't want passed and stuff. He's very well connected, Lucius Malfoy.
Yes, he's wanted to create something called the Voldy Youth Programme. So as they're leaving, Harry sees the wizard fountain again.
And tips his whole fucking money bag in there.
In front of Arthur.
Yeah.
What a cunt. Arthur should have been like, oh, Harry, you carry on.
Yes.
I carry on.
He must be tempted to do that every day.
Oh, if I fucking saw a galleon, if I walked past the fountain and saw like a £5 note floating in it, I would straight up pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he's seen
that's got to be like, that's got to be like the ultimate shame in the ministry, though, isn't it? Because everyone knows
everyone.
He's
going to St. Mungo's.
Oh, yeah, he's going to St. Mungo's, yeah.
I mean, but they're there, we find out later that they're there often at night when no one else is around, pretty much. How does he should have just taken a few galleons. But then maybe Molly be like, where'd you get the money from?
She should have, really. If he's going to do the right thing by his family.
Yeah, it's like, look, Molly, I bought you a clementine. She's like, oh, it's a bit hard. No, it's not. Lovely and fresh. Why has it got long butter written on the side of it?
That's my new name for you.
Yes. That's what I'm going to do to you tonight. Look, Arthur. Oh, I'm Vulcan Everett. Ron. We need to clean something up. Also, I don't know who's going to cook Christmas dinner anymore. I guess we're going to KFC. Yes, they go back and Ron and Hermione are over the moon. They're like, oh, I just can't take looking at it anymore. And Hermione's like, well, I knew you would get off, Harry. Like, it's written all over the books. Like, there was no way they could have thingied you.
Yeah, everyone knew he'd get off. Over dinner, Harry's, yeah, someone says like, oh, yeah, Dumbledore was always going to turn up and, like...
save the day.
Get you off.
Yeah. And, like, the twins and Ginny are running around going, he got off. He got off.
Harry's self-consciously trying to cover up the stain in his robes. And then Harry, as someone says that Dumbledore was awesome, Harry thinks, yeah, but he wishes he would have, like, spoken to me or at least looked at me. And in that moment, his scar hurts real bad.
It's real bad. Arthur has to leave again. And Molly makes them all lunch. And it's a fucking, like, she makes them a roast dinner pretty much for lunch.
Does she?
Yeah, because I was expecting, like, lunch items. I thought she was going to make them all a sandwich or whatever. But she says, like, oh, do you want, like, this and that? And she gives them, like, bits of, like, a chicken and mashed potato. All this stuff. And I was like, this is a bit decadent for, like, it's probably, like, just gone 12. And it's not a Sunday.
It is a bit, isn't it? But, yeah. Like, what else is she going to do? I suppose she's got a house full of, like, teenagers. Probably keep her busy, wouldn't it? Although, I guess teenagers take care... they just sit in their rooms, don't they?
Yeah, she should have just gave them all Dairy Lunchables. Or just gave them, like... gave them a cow and a sack of cereal and been like, figure it out.
I thought you were going to say, like... give them, like, a cow and a machete.
And like cow machete and a working iron. Oh god, right, you've got 20 minutes. Go.
Want a fillet steak on my plate, 20 minutes.
She goes back up. Everyone's dead. Harry's fucking the cow in an incredibly pressed suit. And she's like, this isn't what I meant.
What am I going to do with all this gravy now?
Oh, fucking hell. And then Harry, like, although he's serious, he's like, oh, well done, boy. I knew you'd get off. I need to stop saying that.
I know.
But over the next couple of days, Harry notices that Sirius is getting more and more, like, sullen.
Yeah.
Although he's happy for Harry, he's a bit sad that Harry wasn't expelled because he was looking forward to the idea of Harry maybe coming to live with him at Grimmauld Place.
Yeah, or just having someone with something in common, like both being kind of outcasts and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, Hermione says that he's being selfish and Ron's like, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, Hermione's like, well, yeah.
He's just been alone for a very long time.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs a companion.
Yes.
That's not got feathers. As far as we know.
And it's the last day before they leave, and Harry is cleaning up Hedwig's droppings from the top of a wardrobe. I'm like, can she not? Does she have to shit on the wall? Could she not shit outside?
That's so true, yeah, because she's going out to hunt and eat.
Yeah, like the winter can come and goes kind of comes and goes kind of freely, right?
Yeah, that's so true. What a bitch. Shit on. Yeah. She fucking dies in the end. Yeah, and then like their book lists come.
Yeah, and so does something else.
Yes, anthrax. Yeah. And I was like, I could have fucking used this yesterday in a fucking car. But yeah, reading the book list, and Ron opens up his letter. Ron's got a prefect badge in there.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Harry, this must be for you. And he's like, well, no, it's addressed to you, mate.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah, it says Ron's prefect badge on the badge.
Yeah. He sort of hands it to Harry as if for sort of like... unspoken confirmation that like this was actually kind of happening. Fred and George are all taking the piss.
Yeah.
Hermione runs in and is like, oh, have you been made a prefect? And sees Harry holding the badge. He's like, yeah. Oh, Harry, I knew it.
I knew it could never be Ron, because Ron is shit, Harry.
Yes.
He's shit.
We all know Ron's a fucking idiot.
Yes. Look at him. Look at him, Harry. And he's like, no, this is Ron's. And she's like,
what the fuck? But he's an idiot.
Ron, you give Harry that badge. Yeah.
I swear to God, I will gas chamber your entire family.
I mean, shower your entire family. Yeah. Yeah, and then she's like, well done, Ron. Yeah, I mean, yes, of course it's yours. I'm sorry. She backs away into the bushes.
Yeah, oh, Mrs. God. Weasley comes in and Fred and George tell them, and she's like, oh, wonderful, that's everyone in the family. And Fred and George are like, fucking excuse me?
Yeah, what are we, next door neighbours?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, well, we'll have to get you a present, won't we?
Yeah, you've
Ron's
already
got like, oh, awesome, yeah, can I get a new broom? And she's like, And he's like, okay, well, can I get...
So, not an expensive one.
Yeah. She's like, okay, can I just give you a twig instead?
I'll dip it in gravy.
I tell you what, I'll just give you a vat of gravy. That'll make you happy, won't it, Ron? He's like, no, yeah, right.
Yeah.
No spoon, though. You've got to eat it face first.
It's like...
In fact, I want you to put it on top of your head like one of those beer can hats. Drink it like that. Every time you're watching a Quidditch game. Oh, fucking hell. But yeah, Ron's like, do you know what? I think I really like a clean sweep. I'm going to go and tell Mum that's the one I want.
Yeah.
And it's really weird because we always just think of brooms in the terms of whichever broom that Harry has is a good broom and every other broom is either shit on, like, non-existent. And, like, it's, no, like there must be, like, ranks of brooms like there are in, like, you know, like, any other mode of transport.
Yeah, brooms with different specs.
It's like Harry's got, like, a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And Ron wants a, well, I don't know, Fiesta.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, should we cut that in case we get a car sponsor at some point?
And then Harry is left to think about why he hasn't been chosen as a prefect, and he's like, I guess Ron and Hermione have been with him for like some of the stuff that he's done, but
he has some really sort of intense like mental grappling with himself.
Yeah, he does,
because he's like, look, you're not any better than Ron, you don't deserve it more, like you do the same in all the you do as good as each other in all the same classes and things. So you're not better than him.
Yeah, and he does have a moment of thinking he's done much more. They weren't with him when he fought Quirrell. He went down and went to the Chamber of Secrets with him. They didn't fight off all those Dementors. They weren't in the graveyard with him. He's done much more. But then he's like, well, maybe they're not going to hand out prefect badges for that kind of thing.
Yeah, which they should really, more than a badge. He should get a special cup. There's no joke there, Tom.
Yeah. I was searching for one. I was like, shit, should I be laughing?
No, he you should just get a special cup from the school.
Special awards.
Yeah, special achievement to the special...
Special services to the school.
Yeah, special service to the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, for killing things, really.
Yeah.
Also, Dumbledore's a fucking cunt for not making him a prefect.
Yeah, he's a little bit. I've forgotten what the reasoning is behind
it. He says, oh, Harry, and you may be wondering why I didn't make you a prefect at the start of the year. It was my thinking that you had rather enough to be getting on with. Enough to be getting on with? I could have fucking done with a badge, mate. A budge? A budge? A budge and a cup. There we go. You want a budge in a cup? Yes. What's a budge?
A budgie.
Yeah, I want a budgie and a cup.
To take down a mineshaft.
Yes.
So I know if there's been a gas leak.
Of course, Dumbledore. What else would I want one for?
That's what all prefects get, right?
Yeah. Yes, a badge, a budgie, and a blank prescription pad. There we go.
But yeah, Harry decides not to be a dick about it. He's not going to ruin it for Ron just because he feels bitter about it. He's going to be genuinely happy for
him. He's going to be sportsman-like.
Yes.
Yeah. He shakes his hand and says, well done, mate. Good game. Good game.
So yeah, Ron gets his new broom. They have a little celebration dinner.
I wonder what they have. Here's a question. So I wonder what, like, confectionery they have for like celebration songs. We have celebrations and roses and quality streets. I wonder what wizards have. What's like the standard?
Oh yeah, every flavor beans. They're a bit like kiddie sweets though, aren't they?
Yeah. What's like the Ferrero Rocher of the
wizard yeah we world? Don't really know, do we?
Yeah, maybe it'll be like Glad Champs chocolate chumpsters or something like that.
Would have to be alliterative.
Yeah. Vanellope's velvet badges. There we go.
Vanellope.
It's an anagram of envelope, you see. I don't know if it actually is.
It's very close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a Valentine's Day treat. Chocolate badges and little chocolate peepees. And when you put the penis into the badge, chocolate caramel comes out the end of the penis.
The little gooey baby is born.
But you don't get that till Easter. Oh, God. How are we not millionaires yet, man?
So Harry's feeling all kind of like elated again.
Yeah, because when they go down for dinner, he hears that Sirius wasn't a prefect and neither was his dad, and that cheers him up.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, they're cool, and if they're cool, weren't prefects, and I can be cool and not be a prefect.
Yeah.
Except I'm not cool or a prefect. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so he sees Fred and George talking to Mundungus. They're buying like venomous tentacular seeds.
Fucking hell, yeah. A Class C non-tradable substance that they want to put inside their Skyping snack boxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not fucking legal. What are you doing? There's no way they would get that past the fucking, like, I guess there is no regulation system, though.
No, I guess not.
Do you know what? I've realised that the Wizarding World, all their products, they're basically running things as if it's the early 1900s still.
Yeah, there's still cocaine in Coca-Cola. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's so illegal.
Well, they don't seem to give a shit.
Yeah, they're selling it to literally two kids.
Yeah.
And also, I thought, since Harry gave him their money, he's an investor, so he should be a shareholder. So he should get money from the joke shop, really.
I feel like there was an implicit understanding that it was a gift and that it's not expected to, like, pay him dividends or anything like that.
Well, they still call him an investor.
Yeah, they say he's our financial backer.
Yeah, so I feel like they should give him money.
Which is, yeah. So maybe Harry does get dividends from
I think he should.
Well, they're probably not in business long enough, are they?
No, they carry on after, what's his name, dies. Ron becomes the other person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they carry on running. It's still a huge success. But whichever twin survives, it still fills a massive hole.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he probably should. But there was nothing, there was no contract or anything. It was just like, here's a bunch of money.
That should be in the eighth book, really, like the legal battle between them.
Yeah.
At the end, like, they had to close down Wizard and Weezers, and Harry's like, well, you should have just given me some of the fucking money.
it's not like Harry hasn't got enough money anyway.
Yeah, fuck him and his fucking vault, little prick. Jesus Christ. I bet he's like, oh yeah, I forgot I gave you that money.
Yeah.
They're like...
So yeah, and then he overhears Kingsley discussing why Dumbledore didn't make Harry a prefect.
I thought it was Moody he overhears. Why is Kingsley talking about it? Is Kingsley even there? Yeah, he came for the meatballs.
Yeah, I've written that he overhears Kingsley's voice because it was unintentionally booming across the room. After that, Moody beckons him over to give him the photo.
No, because Moody says, no, I think he should have made him a prefect. It would have showed he had a vote of confidence in the boy. So maybe him and Kingsley are talking about it then.
Yeah, maybe. And that puts Harry back in a bad mood. He's got some serious, like, adolescent hormones going on.
Yeah, he's just got unchecked rage.
Yeah, he's back and forth like a fucking tennis match.
Yeah. I know nothing about tennis.
No, I know the ball goes back and forth, like Harry's emotions.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
There we go. Not a joke, just a simile.
That's the name of our second podcast. Oh god, just quickly, Molly is fucking hassling Bill about his hair again.
Yeah,
it's like, Molly, just fucking tell him you want to be with him already, like, oh. Jesus Christ. Molly says, oh right, Moody, look, can you have a look at that cupboard in the drawing room, let me know if it's a boggart or not. And he does the whole, like,
and he's like, yep, it's a boggart.
I can go to Gryffindor. And Molly's like, well, what?
I said I'm going to Gryffindor.
I'm going to Gryffindor to go across the villages. What? Yeah. What? I said. I'm going to take care of it like I took care of Constance Vigilance. Oh, Moody, no.
No, I'll take care of it. Yes. You just stay here and... Don't set fire to anything.
Yes. Yes, you keep your little rubby stick out of any holes. Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'll go fix it.
Moody beckons Harry over to give him a photo of the original Order of the Phoenix and introduces all of them.
It's quite a lot, isn't there? Like, or there was quite
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. A few people he's met, a lot of people who were killed shortly after the photo was taken. Mm. The Longbottoms, who are obviously in the hospital now.
Yeah,
Harry's
still
parents,
waiting for that orange.
Still waiting for that orange. Harry's parents sat either side of Wormtail. Harry doesn't like the picture.
Yeah, and rightfully so. His thought process about this was the same as what I was having or would have had in that situation. Because he's like, Moody obviously thought this was a present, but Harry's thought it was quite... He uses the word like, he thought it was quite distasteful or something like that.
Yeah.
He's showing him a picture of his dead parents and so many other people who had died in the fight against the man who was now out to get him again.
Yeah.
Look, boy, this is what your parents looked like when they were still breathing. Look, see the way their lungs are expanding? They're not doing that now. Oh, yeah, and it's just a very bizarre way he goes about showing him, I feel. Mm. But I think it's just because Moody's so moody. He just doesn't have... He's not sensitive to that kind of thing.
No.
So he obviously thought it was a lovely treat. And it's the opposite of a treat.
Yes.
What's the opposite of a treat? Punishment, I guess.
Yeah. I tried to think of what the word treat is backwards, but it...
Turret.
Turret.
So turret. He gave me a turret.
He said it was a treat, but it was a turret.
Yeah, so Harry sort of says, I'm going to go upstairs now.
Yeah.
My thoughts.
Yeah. Then he hears sobbing from the drawing room. And yes. He goes in to take a look and he sees Ron's body on the floor.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
Yeah, dead as fuck.
Dead as fuck.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my god. And he's like, no, it can't be. It can't be Ron. He just saw Ron downstairs.
Yeah.
And then Molly's like, ridiculous. Crack.
Oh, no, he's dead as fuck.
And just in turn, she keeps on trying to ridiculous it and it keeps on turning into other members of her family dead. And then Harry's the last one, I think.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? A boggart is quite a serious mental thing to overcome. You should never do it alone. I feel like you should always go in a pair to tackle a boggart.
Yeah, well, she learns that lesson the hard way, doesn't she?
She does learn it the hard way.
Yeah. The stiff way. The rigor mortis way.
Harry just goes in the fucking room, sees her on top of Bill's body.
I knew it.
And she's like, oh,
Bill, wake up.
Bill, what are you doing? Yeah, yeah. Get off. I mean, get out from under me.
Yeah.
Yes, Harry, it's my biggest fear.
And then Lupin arrives with someone else, so I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's Sirius. Yeah, it's Lupin and Sirius.
Yeah.
I was like, look, we heard crying.
So we came running straight away. Thought maybe some fun and games were happening up here.
Sirius just got like his gimp suit on. Oh, God. Yeah, and then Lupin's like, oh, Molly. And he sets to find the bogo and it turns into a moon. Funny, ridiculous is it?
Yes.
No, he ridiculous is it.
Then it turns into a moon.
And then he waves the wand and then it vanishes. And I was like, how the fuck does this spell work?
Yeah,
then?
I thought that was weird as well.
Cause, yeah, because like when you ridiculous it turns into something funny. And but we never actually know what the end result is. And but in this, yeah, you ridiculous it and then it changed into his fear. And then he waved his wand wordlessly and it vanishes into a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, I thought that was weird as well.
Yeah, not a very good explanation of that spell.
Not a very good explanation of that spell.
Molly's a wreck.
Yeah, she's a wreck. She's, oh, I know I'm being silly. Yeah, she's like, I know it's just a boggart, but I see them dead all the time. I dream about it. Half the family's in the order. It will be a miracle if we all make it out alive, and Percy's already left the family and stuff. And I'm like...
Yeah, and Lupin's like, well, I didn't want to be the one to tell you, Molly, so I'm glad you came to this realisation on your own.
Your family is fucked.
Yes. Most of you will die. If not in Voldemort's hands, then probably in mine. I hate you. No, she's like, what's going to happen to my fucking kids once I'm gone?
Well, they're not going to be.
We're not fucking staying here.
Yeah. Yes, Leslie, I don't want an earful about what's going to happen to your children.
Yes.
Hey, an earful?
No, do you know? No, don't worry. Hermione's telling me about this wonderful camp she has. She's giving them a free train ticket. yeah, he's like, look, Molly, do you honestly think that the Order wouldn't take care of your chubby little children? She's like, no, I guess not. And he's like, whatever happens, we'll be here for you when the rain starts to fall. Like we've been there before.
Clap, 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 clap.
yeah, and then Harry goes back after his room. Retires to his room. That's what I meant to say.
And Molly keeps apologising for being silly, and Harry doesn't think she's being silly
at
all.
Yeah, I didn't think she was either, actually.
No.
Like, for once.
Legit.
Yeah, I thought, you know what, I agree, this is a really awful situation. Because Harry's like, it is so possible that so many of them could die. Because in that photo that Moody showed him, some of those people were like mere days away from being slaughtered and they had no idea.
Yeah.
They were smiling like it was all fucking fun and games.
Yeah, I mean, Lupin and Sirius do explain how it was different last time when Voldemort was at his full power and he... fully outnumbered them and was just picking them off one by one, and they've got an advantage this time, but still it's definitely legit fears that she has.
How many more people did he have last time?
Oh, a lot, apparently.
But like, who other than the Death Eaters, who was doing things for him? Were there like armies at his disposal that we don't know about?
Maybe
something?
I mean, maybe he did have Dementors and giants and
I guess, yeah. It's weird that the Ministry would then ask for Dementors to come back to their side after the fact. You know, what happened there?
Fly landed on my nose.
Oh, I thought he was having a seizure.
Oh, thank you for your deeply concerned reaction.
So don't get foam on the microphone. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm just... I would love to... I wish that she did a fucking book series, a three-part book series about the First Wizarding War, just so we can actually know what went down properly, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm still a bit in the dark about exactly the extent of Voldemort's, like, tyranny and all this kind of stuff, you know? I feel like we don't proper have an idea of the scale of anything.
Yeah, and I mean, did a lot of clearing up of Muggle memories have to happen, because I imagine a lot of it would have... He's not going to give a fuck about casting magic in front of Muggles if
Well, yeah, there were plenty of, like, Muggle attacks, weren't there?
Yeah.
Like, especially towards the end, they used to find the dark mark above Muggle dwellings as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all a bit, I wish I had a more complete idea of what it was actually like, so I could, you know, decide whether I was on board or not, you know? Yeah, but it kind of finishes with Harry going, he can't believe that an hour ago he was worried about his prefect badge.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Does a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Alas.
End of chapter.
Yeah, end of chapter. Oh, Molly was not in the mood that night, I tell you that much. Arthur's like, I don't know about you, but those meatballs have really fired me up. Yeah. She's like, I just saw all our children dead. He's like, no. All of them. Yes, all of them. Okay, well, I guess I'm finishing myself off tonight. Yeah. I wonder if that ghoul is still in the bathroom.
I wonder if Sirius will lend me his gimp suit.
Maybe he needs help oiling Buckbeak. Anyway, please check us out, guys, on Instagram at PolyRedPod. Email us at polyred@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at PolyRedPod also.
Yes.
And please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps us out, helps us stay visible, helps new listeners join our cult.
Yes, helps induct new people.
Yeah. I've been Gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.